Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. Bet $50 at WynnBET and get $200 in free bets. Bet big and win bigger with WynnBET. Download the WynnBET app now or visit WynnBET.com and start winning today. We're also brought to you by Sleeper. You already play fantasy on Sleeper, but now you can win cold hard cash with their over-under game. Just head on over to Sleeper.com/SGP on your phone to join the SGPN group. And Sleeper will automatically match your first deposit of up to $100. That's Sleeper.com/SGP. And make sure to download the SGPN app. It's your home for all of our free picks and podcasts.
Howdy ho, Degenerinos, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, episode 151. Let's send it out to Pantera, thrash metal band Pantera. They came up in the SGPN Slack last night because La Pantera fought and won us some money. And I actually listened to him while I was out with driving around with the kid today because he's into metal. So there you go. This goes out to Pantera. This isn't a Pantera podcast. Maybe we will have a spinoff one at some point. Who knows? Who's to say? But this is a podcast all about MMA and making money off it and making childish jokes and, you know, all that good stuff. So I would be your host. I am known as Jeff Chalks Fox. I'm one of the chalkiest bettors you're going to find, but I win, and I won last night, but I won last night thanks to an underdog, so we'll have to get into that. How ironic is that? But I ended up money because I hit a pretty decent dog last night at those epic UFC fights. I am not here alone, obviously. You don't want to hear me just talk and talk and talk for an hour, just me talking. That I'll bring in someone who loves to talk on the mic. I'm not sure if he still goes by Gumby God or not after this weekend. Up to the last episode, he was referring to himself third person deity, Gumby God. He may just be back to Danny or Dan or Daniel. We'll have to find out. It's Daniel Vreeland anyhow. Bye. Hi. Hi and bye. Hi.
It was main card Gumby God. Mm-hmm. I hit every single main card fight, which
he knows. Positive spin is back.
Yeah, positive spin's always here. Yeah, no. And also, I would just say I would have a, and it was a mediocre day. It wasn't a bad day.
Mediocre
was,
boys are back. I forgot
I
to say
six
that.
And,
mediocre
six
boys
and
are
five.
Back.
I'm six yep. and five. I think I did. I went 2-2 with the recommended plays, and I had to have been pretty close to even money, right? Like maybe down $20.
Oh, you lost a buttload of money there, Dan.
Because all your
big money was on the ones that lost. That's how.
Oh no,
we'll get to that.
We'll get to that. Yeah, I must have the smaller amounts on them. Anyway, I did hit two of them though, and. No, I whiffed a bunch on a couple of these prelims, but I'll tell you this. If a fight card looks like that on a weekend, I don't care if I went 0-11 or 0-12. That was worth the price of entertainment then.
Did we all win, Dan?
On that fight card? Hell yeah, we did. Yes. That was. I'm going to tell you, that rivaled, at least as far as the main card action goes, that rivaled UFC 189 for me as being my greatest card of all time. Because that right now is entrenched in my memory as the greatest card of all time is 189, which for those of you who don't remember, Conor McGregor knocks out Chad Mendez for the interim belt in like the craziest comeback. Before that was Robbie Lawler versus Rory McDonald in, you know, a fight of the
that broke Rory
century. Probably broke Rory McDonald. We had a flying knee knockout from Jeremy Stevens on Dennis Bermudez. Gunnar Nelson absolutely put it to Brandon Thatch in a round, and then a flying knee knockout from Thomas Almeida on Brad Pickett. All of those on the main card. So like five straight finishes, all insane fights, and like there were some decent prelims too, but like that main card sticks out to me in history as like one of the greatest ones. And this one, man, dude, I mean Shevchenko Santos might have pulled it down a little bit, but even that was really fun to watch.
It was intriguing for sure. I thought it was, well, maybe the first round or so wasn't as much, but yeah, it's just because of the outcome and the closeness of it. Obviously it was intriguing, and that was the worst quote unquote fight on the main card. Everything else was finishes. Obviously we will get to all that. Plus we'll recap, see how Dan did with the road to UFC Singapore picks that he gave y'all, which was, the day before these fights went down. So before we hop into that, I got to tell you about Wynn. Of course, make sure to get down on the wins. Bet $50, win $200 promotion where $50 bet qualifies you for up to $200 in free bets. Plus the ultimate fantasy football experience. Bet $500 plus on sports or casino before July 31st of this year. Get entered to win the ultimate fantasy football draft experience at Encore Beach Club, including a two-night stay at Wynn Resort for you and your entire league. That would make you a Gumby god if you pulled that off. Multiple entries are allowed. Plus, do you want to party with DJ Diesel? All users can bet $100 on NBA or casino and be entered into a prize drawing to attend a DJ Diesel, a.k.a. Shaquille O'Neal, performance at Encore Beach Club at night, as well as a meet and greet with DJ Diesel this summer. There's so much to choose from, and all you have to do is download the WinBet app or visit winbet.com to get started. Offer subject to change, terms and conditions at winbet.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where a playthrough WinBet is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Now on to Sleeper. Sleeper is the fastest growing fantasy platform today with millions of players. You probably already have a fantasy league on there. All the SGPN guys do. It's a game-changing product like anything else in the industry. And now, capital N-O-W, now you can make money on Sleeper 2 by playing the new over-under game. It's super simple. First, in any sport, choose two or more players that you like and pick the over-under. For example, number of points in basketball or hits in baseball. Then choose the amount of money you want to enter into the contest. If you pick correctly, you can win anywhere from 2 times to over 20 times the money you put in. Main reason I'm excited about over-under on Sleeper is that it's the only app where I can join my buddies, assuming I had buddies. But if I had buddies, I could join their contests and play together. It's got a built-in group chat where I can see and copy my friends' picks with the tap of a button. It's insanely fun to write it out together. Stop what you're doing and download Sleeper now to play their new over-under game. Have fun with your friends and make some money with these picks from Dan right now. Go.
Oh, man, you're putting me on the spot again. By the way, last time I had Max Fried strikeouts along with, I believe I had Austin Riley hits. That one hit perfectly. Then I gave you Dansby Swanson and Ronald Acuna hits. That didn't hit. But the first one hit, which is important there.
How do you not know I'm going to do this to you?
I know you were going to do it, but this time I was, get this, you know, this is brand awareness here. I was sleeping as you were getting things ready.
I'm tired, not you, dude. You're young. You can't be tired.
Am I young still? All right.
Younger.
Let's take a look at late night games on Monday. Let's see. I like the over on hits for Brandon Drury. In the late night game for Cincinnati, that dude has been raking lately. And Merrill Kelly, you know, having a pretty darn good year with a low ERA. But like at the same time, I don't think he's going to keep Brandon Drury at bay. And I'll also take the we'll stay in that Diamondbacks Reds game too, because I think that's going to be a high scoring affair.
Yeah.
Despite the fact Merrill Kelly's been pretty good, I'll take Ketel Marte with the over on hits too. That dude's hitting. He's got the best batting average on the Diamondbacks, but that's also like being the tallest Smurf, so that doesn't really matter for too much. But I do think with Mike Minor on the mound, he should be able to rack up a couple of hits. So Drury and Ketel Marte in the D-backs Reds game.
Hopefully Kelly gets rocked, because I cut bait on him a few weeks back off my fantasy team, so I would hate to see him do good.
That's a hard sell. That dude's not having the worst year. That's a low 3 ERA.
Yeah, I think he had a few bad games in a row, and I lost my patience, Dan. I'm a tough manager. I'm a tough fantasy manager. So, all right, so Dan gave you your winning picks. Here's what you do with them. Go to your mobile phone, because even Dan has a mobile phone, even though he's not an Apple, right, Dan?
It is not an Apple. I can assure you that I don't own any Apple products.
All right, there you go. Mobile phone, join our listener group on Sleeper at sleeper.com/SGP, and Sleeper will automatically match your first deposit up to $100. That's right. Join our squad and get the 100% deposit match at sleeper.com/SGP. Terms and conditions apply. See Sleeper's terms of use for details. All right. Seems like it was I got a bunch of winning betting slips from multiple people DM to me in Twitter. So I think it was a pretty good night for people that follow the pod. I was in and out of the Slack. How did everybody do in the SGPN Slack last night?
Definitely not as good as the week before, but I will say we did seem like we were on a roll once it got to the main card. Although and we're going to get into this in just like 4 seconds, but like, my goodness, that Jiří submission, just like, there's no reason to take Jiří inside the distance instead of Jiří knockout, right? Like, there's no good reason except for reality, right?
I said that joke. I actually predicted this exact thing, right?
You made me look up the number, and I said 1,600.
Yeah, okay, I thought it was 2,600.
Was it 26? It might have been 26.
Yeah, I thought it might have been 26.
Did you see the number for Jiří, if you would bet pre-fight Jiří fifth-round submission?
Well, that's so specific, it must have been outrageously high.
Plus 20,000.
Oh, yes. It would have been so nice.
200 to 1. So, you know, like, $100 bet there, cashes at 20 grand, like, incredible.
Yeah. I said, could Jiří, like, pummel him on the feet and then, like, get him in a choke? He's like, no. That couldn't happen.
And you know what? I was right, because it didn't
true.
Happen.
It's true. Pummeled on
actually,
the ground.
The thing that happened was that Glover battered him on the feet. I mean, yes. Dude, this is the
let's
most
talk about
insane
it. Let's
fight
get
ever.
Into it.
Yeah,
let's dig it. Let's dig into it. Jiří Prochazka submitted Glover Teixeira. Yes, I said that right. He submitted him. Rear naked choke, 4:32 into the fifth round, in a fight that, according to, two out of the three judges, I believe, had Glover winning it. I don't know. I kind of, in my mind, I'm scoring fights as I watch it. I thought, I don't know. It was a tough one to score, I think. But I wouldn't cause a stink if Glover had won that via a decision or the other way around, because both men had an insane amount of chances and damages on the other opponent. So anyhow, Jiří somehow, as the announcers were saying, that Glover was making a lot of mistakes on the ground. He made one fatal mistake and got himself choked out. So I remember years ago, I don't know if I said it publicly or to you or anything, but I was like questioning Glover's ground game, even though I was saying he was like the sloppiest or the worst looking third degree black belt ever, but that I kind of shut up after the past few years. But maybe I was right. I was just a few years early on that.
I mean, like, I don't think he looks sloppy. I think ultimately the issue here is that he gassed. You know,
yeah, he's old and he got beat up really bad.
I think it was gassed. And you want to know the craziest thing about, you know, like you just mentioned that. It's two out of three judges had given him three rounds.
Yeah.
He was not about to win that fight. I don't know if you know that. If Jiří Prochazka wins the last round 10-9, it's a draw.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Because Mike Bell had it two rounds apiece. So if Jiří wins the third, he takes it on his card. Ben Cartilage had it three rounds to Glover. So he wins it 3-2 on his judges' scorecard. On the last one, they had it 3-1 for Glover over Prochazka, but they gave him the third round at 10-8. So if he had won the last round, it would have been 47-47.
Right.
And it would have been so one draw, one to either guy. We would have not gotten a winner if Jiří Prochazka wins that fifth round.
Oh, we would have had to see them fight again, shucks, eh?
But here's okay, so you know, I first of all, I agree 100%. Second of all, are we about to anyway? That's my big question.
Maybe. Yeah, Glover is not retiring at this point. This seems to
great post-fight interview, by the way.
Getting beat half to death for 30 minutes seems to have reinvigorated him. He's ready to rock and roll some more.
Yeah, I mean, like, Man, dude, if you didn't go back and watch the post fights, because I know you don't often, and for if anybody was staying up for it on the East Coast, it was 1:30 by the time they got the mic to Glover's lips. So, like, I get that you didn't hang around for it. It's so good and so classic Glover that he's, like, in a good mental space. He's like, they asked him what's next for him, and he's like, I looked pretty good out there, didn't I? And I was like, yes, dude. Yes, you did. So I was jacked up. I'm glad he's not going anywhere. Because, like, if that was the last one, like, that shouldn't be his last one, right? Like, that's not how it should end for Glover. But he also had originally said he only had two left. He said he was going to defend the belt against Jiří Procházka, then maybe defend it in September, October, November, somewhere in that range, and then hang him up. He was planning on two defenses and call it a day. So if he loses the first defense, I can't imagine he sticks around to fight one more and then call it a day anyway. But the UFC isn't the type of person to, like, just gift wrap him one because he's on his way out. Right. But, like, did he earn one? Like, I personally think he earned one, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you would think. So that's what you want to see next, or you think that's what should happen next?
Well, rematch? It's hard for me, too, because, like, we talked about this, I don't remember how many weeks ago, but when Jan Blachowicz beat Alexander Rejcic, him blowing his knee out did a huge disservice to Jan, right? Like, if Jan goes out there and flattens him, this is Jan's title shot, right? This is Jiří versus Jan next, and we're not even talking about it. But now we have Glover as a question mark. We've got Paul Craig about to fight Volkan Ozdemir to go on a five-fight winning streak and a seven-fight unbeaten streak or something like that. And then we also got Magomed Ankalaev fighting Anthony Smith to go on a massive win streak. So, like, there are going to be four legitimate options for Jiří Procházka. I'm not sure the avenue they want to go down when Jiří wants to fight again, but I will tell you, like, I think the right answer is to just, like, let Glover do this one more time. And if he loses or wins, I think, you know, maybe he retires anyway and you let people fight for the vacant belt. But, man, I almost think he's the one who should be getting this shot.
Now you're going to say it's going to be a fatal four-way.
One man
in each. There's no corners, but one man in each side of the cage and let him go.
I mean, in a perfect world, I want a one-night tournament. That's what I actually want.
For sure. I was thinking like fight circus. They're all in there at the same time, so. Something I did find humorous is Jiří was upset because he says he likes to fight clean. Huh? Since when does he not get, the life beat out of him in a fight before he wins? He never fights clean. What's he talking about?
Well, does he just mean clean as in he didn't take like a big damaging shot? Cause he didn't take a big damaging shot from Dom Reyes. Right,
no,
Dom Reyes didn't hit him with shit. Like, Volkan hit him with a little bit, but, like, not a ton. Like, you can almost forget that you got hit by Volkan Ozdemir in that fight. But, like, you know, he did just piece up Dom Reyes. So, like, maybe that's what he's thinking of. But, like,
he's a wild man. He takes damage. That's what happens.
Glover Teixeira is also, like, seven levels higher than Dom Reyes. So, like, get over yourself that it was, like, it wasn't a perfect fight.
That was pretty much a Jiří fight, if you've ever seen one, really. It just took him a lot longer to finish the fight than he usually does. So, yeah, how about his performance? I had people DMing me saying that he's a real deal after that one. Like, the grappling, for crying out loud. He's like, he should have been dead when you hit the ground. He hit the ground multiple times in the fight. He even took advantage of it.
I can't believe how good he looked on the ground. Like in... Full mount, right? Like, he was in full mount. How many times? Like, I can't even count them off the top of my head how many times he was in bottom mount. And he just survived. So, and he did the right things, too, right? Like, elbow knee escape, bumping, moving to half guard. Like, he just really clever work there to get himself to the right spot. And, I don't know. I think he's the real deal, but I also think there's some really bad matchups out there for him. The one that I think it's crazy because I'm like, Glover should get the rematch.
Right.
I wouldn't pick him to win the rematch. But do you know who I might pick to beat Jiří Procházka right now?
Do tell.
I might pick Paul Craig. I might pick
you
Paul
love
Craig.
Paul Craig.
I do, but also like Paul Craig is going to do a lot of the same things Glover did. He's going to be a little bit faster and a little bit tighter on the feet, and he's going to have better cardio. Yep. Right? Like he is a younger version of what Glover Teixeira had set out to do in this fight. And granted, his boxing doesn't look like Glover's, right? Like, he's not, like, all hooks and shit like that. Or,
you know, he didn't hit as hard either, I would say, probably.
I kind of agree with you. I don't think he hits as hard. But, like, also, Glover didn't use his boxing to try to hit him hard enough to get him out of there.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that wasn't his goal. And when he did, he tried to snap down a guillotine. So, I think Paul Craig probably uses his striking as more of a means to an end, but, like, intelligently in this case. And I think he would be a bad matchup for Jiří based on what I saw. And don't get me wrong, Jiří survives. Jiří's got his own skills there. But Paul Craig is, like, a younger, faster jiu-jitsu expert. And I think that might be the riddle solver here for Rojaska. Are we going to see it next? Undoubtedly not.
Yeah, I think that would be, in case of emergency, break glass, bring out the Bear Jew. I don't think he's top of the UFC's list.
Does it feel dirty when you say his nickname? Does it feel wrong?
It feels like I'm being racist, but
yeah, I feel like I shouldn't say it, but it is.
I didn't make it up, dude. But yes, it does. So anyhow, worth the price of admission, that fight. The fans in Singapore, I'm sure, didn't mind having to get up early in the morning to go and see this fight live. So it definitely was worthwhile. And we did hit our straight up plays on this one, minus 200. Jiří won us some money. He screwed us over in our recommended plays. I don't know why I put a prop bet. I'll keep telling myself, don't put prop bets in recommended plays, but I did put a prop bet and I put an underdog and I lost both of those, but I won my straight up bet. So someday I'll learn. Dan, anyhow, co-main event wasn't so bad. Considering it was a Valentina Shevchenko fight and it went the distance, split decision win for the champ over Talia Santos, 48-47, 47-48, 49-46. Me just scoring it. I had heard the outcome before I got to watch it, so that maybe that changed how I was thinking of things. But just watching it the first time through, I thought Santos had won the first three rounds, which means she would have won the fight. But doesn't matter what I think, because judges did give it to the champ, who says she had a knee injury. Apparently, didn't affect her in the fight, but it did affect her her dancing abilities. So that's why she didn't dance after the fact.
Fantastic.
That's what she said, right? She said she couldn't dance because she hurt her knee or her foot. Maybe it wasn't a knee. It was a foot, I think.
So I'll tell you live. I think I even tweeted this out after the first three rounds. I said, round two, razor close, like ridiculously close. And one in three were for Santos. So I was like, Santos is either up 2-1 or 3-0 right now. Valentina's got to turn it up. And Valentina turned it up. So after the fact, I went back and I was like, well, I said round two was razor close and I didn't know. So I went back and watched round two again. I think ultimately you have to give it to Shevchenko on that round. After watching it again, like, she just did more damage on the feet, and she did enough damage on the feet. And once Santos gets her down, she kind of just holds her there, which, as you know, doesn't score. And I think that's
what about defense, though? Does defense score?
Defense does not score.
Okay.
For all of you Twitter experts out there, defense does not score.
You know how they should score fights? Joe Rogan has a good idea. They should score fights based on damage.
Yeah, which they pretty much do.
which they have for years.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's like oversimplified, like, like, because with jiu-jitsu, right, in ground game, it's not just damage, because we're actually going to get into talking about one later, where I think a guy came close to finishing the fight, which is how the rules read. It didn't get credited for it and wound up losing a decision. I don't think he deserved to lose. But that being said, I scored the fight after the fact for Shevchenko. Worth noting, three sure dog guys scored it for Santos, though, and they were.
Yeah, I'm always on the wrong side of history, aren't I?
And they were. Hang on, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. There were 8 people who scored it for Santos.
Yeah.
3 of them from sure dog, and there were 3, 6, 9, 12, 15, 18, 19 guys who scored it for Shevchenko. So 19-8, and 8 had 3 sure dogs in it. So 19-5.
What round was the headbutt that messed Santos up? Was that the second
I think
round?
That was the third.
Third, okay.
But I'm not positive.
That's the thing. Judges, if the judges didn't catch that live, then they will have no idea. They won't know that it was a headbutt that caused all that damage. They might think that Shevchenko caused that damage with a legal strike. So that's like they talk about damage and damage is the most important thing. Well, if it comes off a inadvertent headbutt, then you know it kind of changes things. But that's too bad that kind of messed up the fight, obviously, because Santos wasn't really the same after that. It wasn't just that. Obviously, Shevchenko decided that maybe she should use her talents that she actually has, and instead of coasting, and she turned it on. But yeah,
she decided to stop countering. That was the big thing.
Yeah, it's true.
She tried to be first.
Yes, yes. So anyhow, exciting fight. What do you think is going to happen now? Maybe is this going to quiet the talk? Like she was talking about moving up the bantamweight. Is that going to quiet it? Now this was such a close fight, or I guess it depends if Juliana Pena keeps the belt or not. I think if she doesn't keep the belt, then Nunes is the champ again. I don't think Shevchenko is moving up.
No, if Nunes wins, they're doing the trilogy.
Okay, yeah.
That's I'm positive. If Amanda Nunes wins, she's fighting Juliana Pena again, and we've got time for another Valentina Shevchenko fight.
Yeah.
So with that being said, yeah, like I think Shevchenko's got to get another fight in there. The most logical one for me, it really depends on her time frame because she likes to stay active. Yeah. But the winner of Manon Fiorot versus Caitlin Chokagian in Paris, that screams number one contender fight. And not that anybody's clamoring to see Caitlin Chokagian versus Valentina Shevchenko too. But like she's done enough. If she beats Manon Fiorot, she's done enough to earn it.
Oh yeah. Yeah, for sure. For sure. And Talia Santos, fantastic fight for her. Fight of her life. Too bad it didn't turn out the way she had hoped. And now she's got a broken orbital bone as well. So, and no belt for you, even though
I was going to say, too, a rematch reasonable for this one, except the broken orbital is just going to leave her out long enough that, like, she might as well go fight one more time before she gets a rematch.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. Worst case scenario for Santos. She lost the fight and she won't be able to take the momentum that she has off of the loss. Surprisingly, she can't take that momentum into a rematch or even a number one contender fight. So too bad for her. That's the way she goes in this sport. That was the only decision we had on the card. We got that pick right, of course. -589 on Shevchenko. So Dan got every pick right in the main card, as you mentioned earlier, including the next one. Women's strawweight fight, Zhang Weili beat Joanna Jan Jacek, knockout, spinning back fist, 228 into the second round. It was another wild fight. And it pretty much went the way we predicted it would. Zhang is the more powerful striker. Her strikes meant more and caused more damage and obviously ultimately ended the fight. So very exciting fight for her. Joanna laid her gloves down, says she's retiring. So great career. We wish her all the best. And as they say on Severe MMA, we can't wait to see her next fight.
Yeah, I think she's actually done.
Yeah, she may. This one I kind of believe. But
I think she was done before this one, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Without
when she pulled her out of the rankings, I was like, oh, she's done.
Yeah, it's it comes. I'll let you talk, obviously, I promise. But it comes down to the U.S. ADA testing pool. If she takes her name out of the testing pool so she's not getting random tested, then I'll believe it. That's like that's pretty much, if you ask me, that's the ultimate decider if someone's really retired or not. Because once you're out of the testing pool, then what, it takes you like 6 months or something before you can fight again if you want to re-enter it. So, if she takes her name out of that, then I will officially believe that she is retired, at least for the next year.
She made it sound like she's got stuff lined up.
Yeah.
I'll say that. But enough talking
like
about this.
Like making babies, for instance.
Yeah. Enough talking about this, though. I got to ask.
Yes.
Is this the current knockout of the year right now? Is it the front runner? Because it's up there for
face
me.
Plant, the face plant obviously adds to it. Huge.
The way she reached out with her arm, like she was still striking as she face planted, I thought she was awake and just got caught off balance, and then she didn't move, and I was like, oh, shit, she's down.
So Joanna gets credit for it as well then?
Great positioning.
Michael Chandler's obviously comes to mind too that we just saw, but. Yeah, I wouldn't argue that it was, and sounds like that got Zhang Weili a title fight against Carla Esparza, which a lot of people are picking her to win.
Who wouldn't pick her to win that fight? Yeah. She's gonna murder her.
She's a good enough grappler, right? Good enough grappler.
I'm pretty sure my co-host tweeted out from Top Turtle MMA account. that Weili Zhang versus Carla Esparza is going to look like the T-Rex versus the goat in Jurassic Park 1. And I sort of agree with that. She's just going to that's not going to be a competitive fight.
Well, yeah, because she's got the grappling to go along with the insane power striking. Maybe not better, obviously not better grappling than Esparza, but enough to keep herself afloat, I think.
Enough to make her strike with her, which is going to be a disaster.
Yes. It's a shame. Esparza's, well, you said she was mean on tough, but anyhow. She's been champ twice. It's time for
Weili to be champ twice.
Yeah, this is one of the rare divisions that people actually win their belts back. It does not happen in MMA. Once someone loses, that's pretty much it.
The only one who's never won it back in that division, who had the title and never won it back, or at least this is assuming Weili Zhang wins it, is Joanna Jędrzejczyk.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is funny because everybody talks about how she's like the divisional goat.
Yeah.
She's the divisional goat. She's lost to two of those three women who've had the belt twice or will about to have the belt twice. Twice. She lost to Weili twice. She lost to Rose twice. And those guys both won the title twice. And somehow, Joanna Jędrzejczyk, greatest strawweight that ever lived. So,
is she, though?
No, she's definitely not. She's undoubtedly not the best ever. She beat – and everybody will point to her, like, title defenses. I don't mean to shit on Joanna Jędrzejczyk. I love Joanna Jędrzejczyk. Amazing career. Hall of Famer. All the things they said. But, like, at the same time, like, they'll cite, like, title defenses and stuff like that. Yeah, she beat Jessica Penne and freaking Claudia Gadelha for belts.
Valerie Letourneau.
And Valerie Letourneau, right. Like,
Canadian, yeah.
Right, like, sure, cite her title defenses, but there's a difference in the skill level there. And when she stepped up, she got crushed. And that's not, again, not shitting on her, but, like, she's just not – she's never going to be Rose or Weili. Rose and Weili are the co-strawweight goats, and I kind of lean Rose, too. I'm just going to say that, despite her recent terrible performance.
Joanna's very similar to Ronda Rousey, where almost like – I don't want to say pioneer, because obviously women have been fighting for much longer than this, but in the UFC, a pioneer of her weight class. You know, competition wasn't up to snuff yet, because, you know, it took a while for the women to catch up, because they haven't had – opportunities, and when women did catch up, the sport passed her by pretty quick.
Yeah, I don't think quite as bad as Ronda.
No,
but like
not many people have been passed as quickly.
Yeah, but like the first, it was also kind of the thing with her is like the first wave of contenders, like all wouldn't have been contenders if you had a fleshed out division.
Yeah,
it'd be like Weili being in there and being the champ and getting to like fight like Loma Lukbume or something like that. Like,
how dare you?
I love Loma. She's one of my favorites. Awesome. But like at the same time, like that we know that wouldn't be, we wouldn't consider that a real title defense, right? So the same way we didn't consider, you know, TJ Dillashaw beating Joe Soto as a title defense.
I forgot about that. That was fun. The last minute one.
The head and brow. What was it? A fucking. Sauna? No, it was hot tub accident.
Oh, that's true. I forgot to mention we had another weight cutting incident here. We lost the Manel Cape Pajera Bonturin fight because
that dude's got to fight at 35.
I forgot all about him.
Get the fuck out of the flyweight division, dude. Yeah. That's bullshit. Especially because did you know? And we can't drone too long on this because we're already like over. But like, did you know this is going to be the first ever fight card with two Portuguese born fighters on it ever?
Really?
With Andre Fialho and one of the first time it ever happened in the UFC, and instead one of them gets ripped away at the last second. It's stupid.
Yeah. I forgot he missed weight his last fight and failed a drug test for it. So yeah,
he missed weight at 35 too.
UFC's really got to be more strict with you. Like, it shouldn't be up to the athletic commission to say this guy can't fight at this weight. UFC's got to be like, no, because it's messing up the cards.
I agree. Don't book him at that weight anymore.
Just it's not like he's a big shot that can call his own shot. So anyhow, Zhang Weili, Joanna, great fight. Fun stuff. Jake Matthews, Dan hit this one. I did not. Jake Matthews, that was the best he's ever looked over Andre Fiala. Fiala looked good. Like, Fiala was in that fight, and he had him rocked at one point, but Matthews just pieced him apart, used that length, knocked him out, 224 into the second round, which is not – has Fiala been knocked out before? I'm not sure. I can't remember what all my stats that I read off before a fight, but Yeah, he's been knocked out a few times, but still, irregardless, it was a very impressive win for Matthews, and got Dan some plus money, plus 110.
I tell you, I would, if that is what Jake Matthews just permanently looks like now, which, by the way, he's a grappler, and he is a grappler at his heart, and like, I know on the broadcast, they were like, Jake Matthews fancies himself a striker. Well, like, yeah, after last night, you can. Well, and also after last night, you're welcome to, because that was some of the best boxing I've seen out of, like, a unranked welterweight in some time. Dude, the amount of guys in the rankings at welterweight who I would take him over after last night, and I know there's some recency bias in there, it's absurd, dude. Like, would you take him to beat Li Jingliang after that fight?
Yep, probably.
I would. I'd take him to beat Jeff Neal.
Yeah, probably. Like, yeah. Well, I know, like, recency bias, as you said, but yeah, no, he looked fantastic.
Would you take him to beat
Fiala's no slouch. Fiala's looked fantastic.
Would you take him? Would you take that version of Jake Matthews to beat Michael Chiesa?
Yeah, because he can grapple too. So yes, I would.
Yeah, he stuffs the takedowns, blasts him on the feet.
Yeah.
How about Neil Magny? Would you take him to beat Neil Magny?
Yeah, he wouldn't be able to use the length and all that stuff, but yeah, he beats Neil Magny because he hits harder and he can grapple.
It's right on that line, though, right? Like, Neil Magny is probably the height of where I'm like, he might beat Neil Magny. Neil Magny's 10th in the welterweight division.
Yeah.
You know,
if Fiala had an inch of reach on him, wait a minute, I'm looking at the stats here. That did not appear to have any reach advantage.
He didn't look like he had any kind of physical advantage of any sort.
No.
Dude, and it's kind of back to what I said, too. I thought this fight was, as far as where the odds were, really came down to a recency bias, right? Like, a lot of us thought Fiala was like this world beater because he had 2 wins in a month against Cameron Van Camp. And the Baez fight's good, but like he didn't look like a world beater until he knocked him out. And then he did look like a world beater against Cameron Van Camp. but like, Matthews is another animal, and then he leveled up on top of being another animal. So I mean, like, just incredible performance. I can't get over how good he looked. Like, I was, you know, and we'll talk about the performance bonuses. Anybody who got a finish got one. Good for you guys. But like, I thought he deserved one at the end of the day just because of how good he looked.
No kidding. Yeah, we're trying to cut the length of our episodes, but this at least the main card portion was just
we'll good fly there. Through these prelims.
Jack Della, on to one of our patron saints of our podcast, Jack Della, Maddalena very easily passed the test over Ramazin Emiev, which was a big step. Like I wrote in a bunch, and I probably said on the podcast too, that this was a big step up in competition for him. Knocked TKO punches, 232 into the first round, looked fantastic. Stuffing the takedowns or keeping himself off his back, at least getting himself back up. I think he got taken down once, right? Or kind of taken down once.
He was in a Darce choke for a little bit.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's right.
The way he worked out of that Darce choke, dude, was beautiful. And I will say this, like, a lot of times with prospects, we say to ourselves, like, you know, like, this guy isn't proven on the ground, or like, this guy got taken down a bunch. I have more faith in Jack Della after watching him get put in a Darce choke and be like, hey, Ramazan, that's cute. Watch what I can do. He gets the fuck out of it, and then he blasts that dude's liver with one of the meanest left hands I've seen in a long time. Like, and that's what crumbled him, by the way. It wasn't a shot to his head. He crumbled him with a body shot. Sky's the limit for this kid. I mean, like, I can't. Dude, welterweight got put on notice last night with Jake Matthews and Jack Della Maddalena. Like, hey, ranked welterweights, get a load of this shit, because these two are coming.
Yep. Hurry up, Leon Edwards. This title fight better not fall through, because the new breed is coming. So, and Della, I have it in front of me. Israel Adesanya won like something like $7,500 off of that fight. He had $2,000 on Jack Della via KO. He got 3.75 times his money. So, yeah. Della says he may hit him up for a loan or a cut of that. So, yeah, he made a believer out of a lot of people. And I had people thanking me on Twitter for telling him to pick him. So it wasn't very hard. It wasn't a very hard choice for us to say pick Jack Della. So we hit that one at, what would it be? We had him at, I loved it. Another reason I loved it so much is because we had him at
160?
Pretty decent number. Yeah, 162. So,
yeah.
So, yeah, I went 4-1. Dan went 5-0 on the main card portion, I'm going to tell you about our lovely friends at Manscaped, and then we're going to rip through the prelims and rip through the road to the UFC, and then we'll get everyone home. Gentlemen, Father's Day is just around the corner, and our friends at Manscaped are here to ensure all the father figures, so you don't have to be a father, you can be a father figure. Out there are looking at daddy material this June at Manscaped's Performance Package 4.0, which includes their signature Lawnmower 4.0. It's a perfect bundle to tackle any and all old man hair from head to toe. This right here is no dad joke. Treat them and yourself and join the 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer. Get 70% off and free shipping with the code SGP at manscaped.com. Trust me, his dad bod will thank you. Manscaped is designed with fathers in mind, and the Performance Package 4.0 is here just in time for your pop's special day. Inside this package, he'll find their Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, weed whacker ear and nose, hair trimmer, crop preserver, ball deodorant, crop reviver toner, performance boxer briefs, and a travel bag to hold his goodies. First off, let me start by saying the Lawnmower 4.0 will be the official MVP of Father's Day. Their fourth generation trimmer features a cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin safe technology. The Lawnmower 4.0 is waterproof and also has a 400K LED spotlight he needs for a more precise shave. Does your dad use the same trimmer for his body and face? Let's throw that out the window and give him the upgrade he deserves. But wait, there's more. Manscaped just launched their brand new boxers 2.0 that are, dare I say, the best boxers ever. We all know dads love their comfort. With summer just around the corner, the boxers 2.0 are here to save every father from the uncomfortable heat. These new boxers are packed with revolutionary features, including the jewel pouch, designed to cradle his boys in their own special space. This right here is a game changer. Whether he's mowing the lawn, taking out the trash, or golfing in the sun, these moisture-wicking boxers breathe without breaking a sweat. Dads, buy this for yourself. Sons, buy this for you and your dads. Ladies, buy this for your man. And dog daddies, you deserve this treat too. Here's your call to action, y'all. 20% off and free shipping. You get all that with code SGP at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. So use code SGP and you get all that. Shake what your mama gave you. Nah, shake what your daddy gave you over at Manscaped. All right. We got the next fight wrong. I thought we had it right. So I had us with a extra win, but I realized, oh, wait a minute. That's right. Koulibal did win. Joshua Koulibal beat Siang Woo Choi. Split decision 28-29, 29-28, 29-28. I think it was the right decision if I remember correctly.
Yeah, not much more to say other than that. Koulibal looked better than Choi did here. He was faster, looked better. Yeah, I scored it for Koulibal. When I heard it was a split, I was kind of shocked and hoping that for our sake that Choi stole it. But yeah, good win for Koulibal. Fun to watch. Period.
That was a big underdog win for him too. He was plus 195, so a pretty big underdog coming through there. Mahashate. He did it. Did Jong have money on him? I didn't hear.
I might have missed it. Also, we missed how to say it too. We've been blowing it. Mahashate.
And he just goes by that. He doesn't go by the
Hayasair. Yeah, it's just Mahashate.
Anyhow, he made us look like fools, Dan. He knocked out Steve Garcia. Steve Garcia got a little too reckless and cute there, and he got put to sleep by Mahashate, a minute 14 into the first round. Thoughts on Mahashate? Is he the real deal here, or
nope.
Is this jury still out? Yeah,
no,
it was Garcia being reckless, right?
Well, no. In look, if you go back to my Wednesday breakdown on our show, I broke this down. I'll run it back for you. I broke this down perfect. Mahashate backs up stupidly with his chin up in the air, inviting people to knock him out. He fights at lightweight, where a fucking ton of people will actually fucking knock him out. Steve Garcia was tempted to knock him out because his chin was up in the air and he was backing up like a dope. And like all through that, all of the things I said, and then Garcia just gets tagged on the chin in the process. Like, it was everything I thought except for Garcia missed the blow that he went for, and Mahashate's got fucking damn good counter. So, no, he's not the real deal. He's an awful prospect at lightweight. Selling on Mahashate, watch him get knocked out the next time by Terrence McKinney.
Listen in, Jong, and anyone else jumping on the Mahashate train. Good. That means we can make some money off him because probably after this, if he gets a fight pretty
– Oh, he'll be favored.
Yep. Yep. He could give us some good money. I just got another thanks. Man, I got a thanks for my DraftKings lineup coming through too, Dan. It's we did good for people on the weekend. So, all right. Just can't concentrate because I keep getting people thanking me for this. I guess we're doing community service here, Dan.
We are. I should have done community service on this next fight. There's the transition you needed.
Yep, Dan, I kept trying to tell him, isn't Brendan Allen, like, is he a better MMA grappler?
No, he's not.
He's at least good enough to win a grappling fight over Jacob Malkoon.
He did not.
Oh, whatever. -260, Brendan Allen won. Apparently it's a disputed decision because Dan was on the wrong side of this one.
Dude, Malkoon won that fight. Look, I don't know how this came out unanimous. I get that there were rounds that were toss-ups, but man, like, anytime Allen was on top, Malkoon just went deep half guard and swept him. Yeah. So, like, I know, and this is the fight where I was talking about before, where we have to talk about the word, word damage. The word damage and how damage doesn't really matter effective grappling. He was on his back and he was digging for chokes. That's like throwing big haymakers and landing like flush shots. It's not like throwing a shot that wobbles them, but it's like throwing a flush shot as you're digging in for the choke because that's how close you are to finishing the fight. And like Malkoon was on his back a ton of times in this fight, had his hooks in, was digging for chokes, and somehow we didn't score that like it was mean. So, I think Malkoon is the better grappler, looked like the better grappler. I'll tell you what, the fans for damn sure thought Malkoon won that fight. If you listened afterwards when Brendan Allen's getting interviewed, my stock in Brendan Allen continues to go down. I continue to think he is less and less of a threat every time I watch him fight.
Yeah, he definitely didn't do much for his stock last night. Well, he did some for his stock. He probably made it go down. Plus, he's got some interesting hair going on now, too. I don't know. Him sure. And Jake Matthews look totally different now, right? They both had
Jake Matthews' tattoos were sick, dude. That dude tatted himself up in the
He's getting like that. He's getting the what the Australian dudes are getting, like the full like. Is it Maori? Those tattoos that he has.
I think it is, but I'm not gonna comment on it because I don't know. But like the Tyson Pedro.
Look. Tyson Pedro, yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, so, he's got the Tyson Pedro look. Yeah.
And, sure. This isn't a tattoo podcast. This is a Kyung Ho Kang podcast, though, because I got this pick right. He beat Batgirl, Barbara Gordon, Batgirl Dana. Even though Dana did look like the scarier fighter the whole fight along, Kang was so fast, and he looked really good.
I'm impressed with Kang.
Yeah.
He looked great.
28 up across the board.
Yeah, he looked great. And right decision on this one.
But yeah,
good, fast.
He is what 7-3 now in the UFC. He's won four or five.
Yeah, and there was. I think the only reason we don't talk more about that record too is the long layoff for mandatory military service. Yeah. But yeah, like he looked good. And the crazy thing is, I thought his path to victory here was through the grappling, and it wasn't. Which makes him even more dangerous at bantamweight. But I guess we'll just see what's next for Kang.
Hopefully not taking over the earth, right?
No, that's
alien
Kodos.
Kang. That was Kodos. And yeah, Kodos wants to take over. Yeah. Kang's just going along for the ride. This one hurts. The next one hurts. Yanni was right, Dan. Liang Na got knocked out by Savannah Gomez Juarez, 122 into the first round. This was one of our dogs we were most into, Liang Na. Now she's probably going to get cut and everything.
I don't know. The UFC seems to want Chinese prospects, but this was definitely them trying to set her up. And I really think she needed one takedown. And for some reason, though, it's weird because her attempts in this fight were sloppier than the ones against Ariane Carnelosi, which I don't understand. Like, how did she regress so much in her wrestling? Because her wrestling against Carnelosi looked good. It looked really bad here. This is what I thought it would look like if she stayed on the feet. I just didn't think under any circumstance it would stay on the feet. Gomez Juarez, though, like, man, dude, if she can keep more fights on the feet, man, is she going to do some damage. Because, like, I think people forgot her fight against Vanessa Demopoulos, too. She tagged Demopoulos and then fouled her to the ground like an idiot and got armbarred. But, like, she tagged her and put her down. So, you know, who knows what she can do if she keeps more fights standing. But this one stung.
And then we started things off good with La Pantera, Jocelyn Edwards, beat Ramona Pascual, 33-7, 29-28, 29-28 in a featherweight fight. I don't know. Not much to say about this. I don't know if Pascual she's tough, but I don't know if she's UFC caliber.
She doesn't belong in UFC. You're right about that.
She'd probably get, but we hit that pick, so whatever. So I went 7-3, 7-4, made $11. Dan went 6-5, lost $145. Oh, yeah, yeah, Dan. On the year, I'm at 67% still. I'm up over $1,000. Dan is down.
Look at you. He's doing it. $100 a fight, and this guy is still going to be profitable at the end of the year.
And Dan, 60% winning percentage, which is very good for you, Dan. Down $1,100. So, blah. Performance.
I got time.
You do it. Yeah, remember last year you made a mad comeback at the end of the year, almost caught up to me. Bonuses. Yuri Prochazka versus Glover for Fight of the Night, duh. And then a bunch of finishers. They gave out a bunch of bonuses for finishes. Zhang Weili, Jake Matthews, Jack Della Maddalena, Mahashate, Savannah Gomez Juarez, all got 50,000. Then the crypto.com fan bonuses. The fans came through again, Dan.
Don't read these.
See who got first
shit.
Place? Valentina Shevchenko got first place. $30,000.
Don't give any of this crypto bullshit any airtime. It makes me
Yuri got 20. Zhang got 10,000, all Bitcoin. You can see all the payouts and everything
those
on.
Those are better picks than when Rose won.
I know. You can see all the payouts on moneymma.substack.com, which is the site I run. All right. Our recommended plays, Dan lost $40 on Liang. He lost $30 on Yuri via KO. He won on Jack Della. He won on Jake Matthews. So he ended up down $44. I lost on the Yuri TKO prop. I won had $50 on Jack Della. So that one came through. And then I lost on Liang. So I was 1-2, down $19. On the year, Dan is up $2 now. See,
boom,
really
still profitable, baby.
I'm up $73. So
yeah, we're both in the green. So that's exactly what you meant to say. You meant to say we're both in the green.
It's true. I got to stop being so cute with the picks. And then Liang via sub, Garcia via knockout was our big Jong parlay. That at least we didn't get any right this time, Dan. Usually you get one right.
Yeah,
this one stings a little less.
Yeah, we're back at it next week. We're back at it next week.
We are. All right, I'm going to tell you about the last two sponsors. I'm going to tell you, we're going to go through Road to UFC very quickly, and then we're going to tell you some exciting changes to the podcast coming up, and then we'll let everyone leave, okay? Athletic Greens. We're brought to you by Athletic Greens and their AG1 supplement. So what is this stuff? With one delicious scoop of AG1, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source, superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. The special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, and aging, all of those things. And it costs you less than $3 a day. You're investing in your health, and it's cheaper than your cold brew habit. AG1 supports better sleep quality and recovery, and Athletic Greens has over 7,000 five-star reviews. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/SGP. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/SGP to take ownership of your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. And when you're online ordering that, make sure you're using IPVanish. Because did you know that browsing online using incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? That's right. Without added security, you might as well give away all your private data to hackers, advertisers, your ISP, and other prying eyes. That's why I use IPVanish VPN to make it easy to stay truly private and secure on the internet. IPVanish helps you safely browse the internet by encrypting 100% of your data. This means that your private details, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be completely shielded from falling into the wrong hands. Even your physical location will be hidden. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. It's that simple. You can use IPVanish on unlimited devices without sacrificing on speed. Your computers, tablets, phones, even devices like your Fire Stick when you're streaming media. Whether I'm at home or in public, I don't go online anymore without using IPVanish. IPVanish is offering an incredible 70% off their yearly plan for our listeners with a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's just like getting 9 months for free. IPVanish is super easy to use. All you have to do is tap one button and you're instantly protected. You won't even know it's on. Stop sharing with the world everything you stream, everything you search for, and everything you buy. Take your privacy back today with the brand rated 4.6 out of 5 on Trustpilot. So here's what you do. Go to IPVanish.com/SGP and use promotional code SGP and claim your 70% savings. That's IPVanish.com/SGP. All right, Road to UFC Singapore went down all over. Actually, Thursday and Friday, early morning on the East Coast here, very, very early. But Dan was up to make a TV appearance, so he got to see his girl, Nutsin, come through. She won. Didn't look super impressive, though, you said.
She looked great. I stand by my assertion. She beat 50% of the strawweights in the UFC. Right. Like, she beat the shit out of Silvana Gomez-Juarez. Like, she'd demolish her.
Hope she does. She broke her heart.
But the thing is, like, Yi Dam Sil just wouldn't engage. So at the end of the day, like, it was a lot of, like, her just, like, stuffing takedowns that were for too far away. Looking real good doing it. And then, like, in the clinch, landing knees. I hope they give her a shot, but I think probably she's destined for Contender Series and will win a contract easily there.
And, you know, we don't have to go through every fight. Dan went 5-4, lost $63, but he hit a big 198 underdog. Hopefully you're in on that one. Lou versus Sirigar. Any other fight or fighter worth mentioning or keeping an eye on going forward? Or could we
the only other one I'll mention is he's a massive favorite, but Rinya Nakamura, his wrestling is so fucking good. And in a tournament like this, that's got like a lot of like Thai style fighters in it. Like, it's just going to play up. Like, he's if I remember correctly, a U23 world champion. So like, his wrestling is going to play in MMA no matter what. And I think in a tournament like this that has guys who are all kickboxers and shit like that, it's going to play even more.
And Top Noi had the quote of the night when you
saw. He's not good, though. That's
Of course he's smoking cigarettes before a fight, which is totally. That's like,
who cares? Who cares?
That's totally what I picture like Thai boxers doing, right? That's like up to stereotype, it seems.
It's funny, his manager too shared out a video of him like ripping cigarettes right after his fight in Ryzen like a few years back. Like, dude, he's like a fun Muay Thai fighter. He's doomed if he fights anybody who can wrestle a little bit.
Can you tell that Dan picked against him and lost?
I love Yuma Horiuchi too. And Yuma Horiuchi, like, go to our and this is a good reminder. Go to our SGPN MMA Twitter page. I shared a fun clip of Horiuchi taking his back by jumping off the cage. It's such a sick back take. I got this one wrong. Top Noi looked good. But just in kickboxing, nothing else.
202 cool kids have joined up now with the SGPN MMA Twitter handle. Dan is doing knockout work there. Lots of good clips, videos, tweets. I noticed the traffic went up substantially after Dan put up a video of himself on a TV show. So once you see that pretty face, everyone wanted to subscribe to the SGPN MMA Twitter feed. So if you're not one of the cool kids yet, make sure you are. Follow that there. And follow us, Jeff Fox Writer. He is Gumby Vreeland. Anything else about these events we just covered that you want to speak on, Dan?
No, I think that's it.
All right, here's the exciting news. I want to say we're going to be doing bonus episodes, but this is just basically, it's not going to be bonus. It's just going to be
the new norm.
The new norm. We're going to be dropping four times a week, probably four times, assuming that there is events to cover. Trying to make the episodes a little more concise. Still playing.
This one wasn't too good of an event.
Yeah. we will save space for nonsense because we know you're all here for the nonsense, not just winning picks. So, anyhow, we are coming back, right back in your ears. I'll probably drop this on Monday, and it will be our PFL picks because PFL is back. Well, Dan's picks. I only pick UFC. That's my niche. PFL picks. PFL is back on Friday. We're going to give you picks for it on Monday. John is very excited about that, of course. The Gens are happy about that. Dan is profitable in PFL so far this year. Not hugely profitable, but a profit nonetheless. He's up 1.4%. I just crunched the numbers before we went on air here. So he's going to add to that this week. We're going to give you picks and run through the PFL card. So you should have that in yours Monday. Wednesday, we will be back because the UFC is back. So Wednesday nights will continue to be our UFC night. When we drop our UFC pod, this will be UFC on ESPN Qatar, if you want to call them a country name, Qatar versus Emmett. So we'll drop that in New Year's on Wednesday. We'll see how much we get covered on Wednesday. If we have more, we want to tell you. It's a pretty big fight card. So we may just have to have another bonus pod come out maybe on the Friday with maybe some recommended plays, some prop picks, some DraftKings picks, you know, Well, we'll see how it goes. We'll see. We'll play it by ear, as they like to say. So definitely you'll be getting another pod from us in your feed on Monday for PFL. Definitely get a pod from us on Wednesday for UFC, and then probably you'll have another one on Friday too. So, hey, and it's all for free. So I make sure you subscribe to our main feed, MMA Gambling Podcast feed, wherever you listen to your podcast. Follow us on Twitter, like I said. Read our stuff at sportsgamblingpodcast.com. I think that's it. You want to take us home this time, Dan?
Sure. I'm David Ruby Freeland. He is the stalker, Jeff Fox. We will catch you, get this, on Monday.
Yes.